Blog Talk Radio.
Con los terroristas.
Numbers. All right, welcome to Sportsaholics 24/7. We got a great show for you, our Friday NFL edition. I'm your host, Jordan, joined by my co-host, Nick. Nick, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How's it going?
All right, so if you want to call in to our show at any time to voice your opinion, our number is 347-884-8496. That's 347-884-8496. If you have any questions that come up or you just want to make your voice heard, that's the number. So we're only in the second week, going into the third week of the NFL season, but already so many storylines are developing. First of all, obviously me and Nick are two big Jets fans, so we'll start off with that. Heartbreaking loss this past weekend against the Packers. At one point,
still recovering.
They led 21 led 21-3, blew the lead, almost came back at the end, but of course, the big controversy over the timeout call by Marty Mortingway. We'll start off with that. Nick, what do you think about the current state of the Jets after 2 weeks and heading into week three?
It's very hard to say. Everything that happened was what was predicted to happen. Let's be honest. If you were to tell me that the Jets were to lose to Green Bay by one touchdown, I'd be pretty happy. I don't know about you, but I'd be pretty happy about that. And I also, it was so obvious that the Jets were going to beat the Raiders anyway because their defense is so horrible and they can't defend against the Jets' run game. Everything was expected.
Right, and I just think when they got up 21-3, of course, you had Aaron Rodgers fumble the ball in the very first play of the game. Then the Jets drove down the field with a great drive, capped off by an Eric Decker touchdown. Everything was just looking so great. They were up 21-3 in the second quarter. And being a Jets fan for so long, you kind of just knew that something would go wrong. And that was really just the story of the game. Every time it seemed like the Jets would do something good, it was just followed by something that went wrong. For example, in the fourth quarter, Geno Smith throws a 37 or 40-yard touchdown to potentially tie up the game. And of course, we had the timeout call right beforehand, just complete bad luck by the Jets. And something that was really overlooked by that was just a couple minutes earlier in the fourth quarter, the Jets had an easy interception that would have been in the red zone right away and got called back for 12 men on the field. You had a point in the second half where they ended up tying up the game at 24, the very next play on the Packers' drive. An 80-yard touchdown by Jordy Nelson. And that just seemed to be the complete trend of the game. Whenever something good happened, something bad happened. Do you agree with that, Nick? Seems like we lost Nick. I think he'll call back in a second. But just going up. And Nick is back. Nick, do you have anything to add about the Jets game?
The Jet game, well, all I can say is I was happy what they did in the first half. You know, starting the second half, I was happy. You know, they started, they were doing what they should have done. They started easy, trying to keep the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands, keep running the ball. But like I said before, I want to see them use Bilal Powell more than they have. That's all I can say.
Yep, Nick, definitely passionate about Bilal Powell right now, the third string back behind Ivory and Johnson. If you really looked at week one, I think Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory both had amazing games. And week two against, a subpar Packers defense, they really couldn't get anything going. And I think Geno Smith overall didn't play his best game, had some mistakes, but I think he kept his composure. He definitely looked great off the bat. I thought the play calling was very good, and he was able to get out and run a little bit and make some plays with his feet. But as the game progressed, I think he just lost a little bit of confidence. And I think that's something that now in his second year, I think the coaching staff really needs to have more confidence in Juno and just allow him to do his thing if the Jets want to have any chance of having success this year. He's their guy. He's looks like right now the quarterback of the future, but unless he has confidence, he's not really going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with that. But here's my biggest problem. Now, just for this upcoming game, how do you predict the Jets are going to do?
Well, on one hand, the Jets have definitely proven to be a different team at home, just a completely different team. They play well at home. They're more comfortable there. They get the fans behind them. But in this upcoming game, I see a lot of mismatch, especially the most glaring one is those Bears receivers. You got Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Santonio Holmes, and even Martellus Bennett as, you know, a really good tight end against the Jets secondary. That just looks like a complete, you know,
disaster for
the Jets.
Think about it. Dee Milliner is going to be matched up with Brandon Marshall, the best deep threat in the NFL right now, with Jay Cutler, who is the most ballsy quarterback in the NFL, has a bomb of an arm, has the mentality of a guy with a bomb of an arm, and I could see them having a field day on the Jets secondary.
Right, and you got Dee Milliner in his second year on Brandon Marshall. Then who's going to guard Alshon Jeffrey, a guy who had over 1,400 yards
Jeffrey.
Last
Darren
year?
Darren Walls is going to guard Alshon Jeffrey.
Well, it'll be Darren Walls, or maybe we'll see some Antonio Allen on him, the converted safety who is actually not playing bad. But, I mean,
this just seems
like a complete recipe for disaster. You're putting Dee Milliner and Antonio Allen, possibly the worst starting duo of right now of cornerbacks in the league, against arguably the best 1-2 punch. I mean, that's really going to be big. The one thing I do like, though, is that the Bears' rushing attack, which has probably been one of their strengths the past couple years with Matt Forte, I think the Jets will just be able to shut them down like they've been doing the past few weeks with their amazing defense.
In terms of the running, but
that's one thing.
Jay Cutler's a pass quarterback, and like I said, he has the mentality of a gunner. He's a gunner, and he has the mentality of a gunner. And he can, and deep down, and his whole game is stretching the field. That is the Bears' offense. It's about stretching the field. Now, this means that the Jets front seven, they have to use Rex's system. And what I mean by that is they have to get to the quarterback. They have to get to Cutler. They have to put as much pressure on Cutler as they possibly can. Because, yeah, he has a great arm. Like I said, he's a gunner. But he's not Peyton Manning. There is a way to shut him down. And the Jets have one of the best front sevens in the NFL. So in that sense, I do have some hope.
And to add on to that, the Bears' offensive line right now is not very good, and we've seen in the past Jay Cutler gets sacked numerous times a game. He starts losing his focus, his composure, and that's one of the weaknesses of the Bears.
Because he's an aimless quarterback. He has physical talent. He doesn't have mental talent.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of predictions, I really do want to pick the Jets just because they are home and they seem to play big in primetime games, but honestly, I just don't see it. I think it'll be a very close game. I don't think the Jets will get blown out by any means, and I think they'll have a chance in the fourth quarter. I think it will be a very close game, but ultimately, I just see the Bears as a better team right now.
They are.
And I think they'll pull. I think the Bears will win this weekend on Monday night.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yes. I say they win 24-17.
24-17, okay. If any of you listeners have any comments to the Jets, any questions for us, the number to call in is 347-884-8496. That's 347-884-8496. So now we'll move on to the other New York team, the New York Giants, coming off a loss against the Arizona Cardinals, just really not looking good right now, losing to the Lions and the Cardinals. And I really don't know what to say about the Giants. I mean, we didn't think they were going to be that great of a team coming into the season. They definitely made some improvements on defense. but I really didn't think they're going to be good. Did I think they were going to be this bad? No. I think a lot of it has to do with Eli Manning, and he just has to limit the turnovers. And Nick, we'll get to your opinion about this, but First, we have a caller. Hello, what's your name?
This is Brett from Mississippi.
Who is this?
Brett from Mississippi.
Hi, Brett. How are you?
Brett from Mississippi. All right, Brett, what's your question?
I have a question for you guys. There are some teams in need of a quarterback. You think any chance the team is going to take a chance at a 44-year-old guy?
On a 44-year-old player? Who
40-year-old guy.
Such as, you know, Brett Favre, who's from Mississippi.
Brett Favre retired.
Oh, Brett Favre.
I'm saying, well, do you think there's a chance that a team might take a chance on Brett Favre?
With Brett Favre, you really just never know. I mean, the guy retired about 30 times and came back. Do I think Brett Favre's done? I'd like to say yes, just because it's been a few years. But the reality of it is you never know with this guy. But the chance of a team picking up Brett Favre right now is probably about 1 in 1,000,000, I would say.
I would have to say, why would Brett Favre come back now?
Because I want to come back.
Is this the Brett Favre?
It might just be.
This is Brett Favre? This is a very historic moment for Sportsaholics. Is this Brett Favre on the line? Can we confirm that?
I can confirm that I'm Brett Favre. Brett Favre from Gulfport, Mississippi. I went to the University of Southern Mississippi. Played for the Vikings, played for the Jets, but I'm famous in Green Bay, too.
Well, as a Jets fan, I'd personally just like to say screw you, Brett Favre, for, you know,
What are you doing to our team?
I mean, let's be honest. You used the Jets to get to Minnesota.
I got a little something to tell you. I really think that Aaron Rodgers is going to go down as a better all-time quarterback than you.
Excuse me, young man. What's your name? Who am I talking with?
My name? I'm Nick.
Yes.
I'm telling you, Aaron Rodgers.
No, sir. What's your name? What's your name?
My name.
Nick. Nick. Listen, I don't know you. But I just have to say to you that you are wrong.
How am I wrong?
The gunslinger, all right? Not only am I a great quarterback, but do you see Aaron Rodgers going around advertising Wrangler jeans?
Brett, let me ask you this, Brett. All-time quarterback.
Brett, do you want to come back right now? That's the question. Are you in a position to come back?
Do I want to come back?
Yes, that's
what kind of question is that?
Well, you do.
Look at my history. I'm 34. I can throw the football. I've retired before, but I want to come back.
I honestly think there's a better chance of Tim Tebow winning the Super Bowl than there is of you coming
back. There's a bigger chance of Tim Tebow
returning
to Judaism than you coming back to the NFL. All
right, Brad, I think we're going to have to cut you off right now.
Listen up. One last thing, guys.
All right.
One last thing.
Okay,
a lot of guys, they've been hitting their wives and stuff. I don't do that. Maybe I send some inappropriate pictures to sideline reporters, but nothing more than that.
Yes, I give you a lot of credit for that, and I admire you for being the NFL player not to do that.
All right, well, we're not going to get into that. Thank you for the call, Brett.
Brett, you have a good day, buddy, all right?
All right, so let's continue with the talk of the New York Giants. Nick, what is up with them right now sitting at 0-2? Is there any hope for this season right now?
The Giants, it's pretty simple. No. There's no hope for the Giants this year. No hope. They have nothing. Victor Cruz, who's supposed to be their best wide receiver, drops 3 passes in a game that are right in his hand. And what does he say right before that? Give me the ball more. Give me the ball more. Give me the ball more. Their offensive line is like... You know what? I'm going to be politically correct. Their offensive line is just very, very bad. They can't protect Eli Manning at all. And because of that, it's putting more pressure on Eli. Eli can't get passes off. And their running game, and they can't get the running game started. I mean, Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams, they're all right. But you have to have an offensive line in order for it to work. And you have to get the game started. They can't get anything started and nothing can work.
So you think the main problem right now for the Giants lies in the offensive line, and is that something that's fixable down the road, or is that just going to doom their season?
Not this year. This year, I think. And this season, I think they're done.
Now, I know there's been some talk, especially since their loss on Sunday, that maybe it's time to bench Eli Manning. Even after just 2 weeks, people are calling for that. Personally, I think, I mean, the guy's won two Super Bowls, but the one thing about Eli is something we may overlook is that he's never really been that great of a regular season quarterback. I think when Eli is your quarterback, I think you know what you're going to get. He's going to have games where he's going to throw over 300, maybe close to 400 yards, just have incredible games. But the majority of the time, he's going to keep you in ball games. But at the end of the day, the interceptions are just through the roof. They're just way, way too much for Eli Manning. And unless he can limit that, the rate that the Giants are turning the ball over, I don't see any hope for success for them this season, especially in the NFC East where you got Philly on the top, who I just don't see. I don't see losing that division. I think they'll take it pretty much with ease this year. Are you in the same opinion as that, of that?
Yes, I would absolutely have to agree with that. I mean, I guess you can say that they have a shot at winning the division because the NFC East is hands down the weakest division in the NFL. But you know what? I see them finishing in third place behind the Redskins and Eagles.
So right now you put the Giants ahead of – you put them ahead of Dallas.
I put them ahead of Dallas. Dallas is horrible.
Well, Dallas did beat Tennessee this past week, which I don't know how much that's saying, but
they did
get in the win column.
Jake Locker. They beat Jake Locker.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it. Dallas, they have no defense ever since they lost DeMarcus Ware and Sean Lee. Can we agree on that?
Their defense is just awful. I mean, there's no other way to put it. They're just
their
awful.
Their defense is hands down the worst in the NFL. In fact, one of the worst defenses in NFL history.
After watching Tampa Bay last night, that's I don't know if I'd say they're the worst, but they're definitely up there.
You could at least agree that they're up there. Their best linebacker right now is probably Justin Durant. Most people don't even know who that is.
I mean, you can't really expect much out of them. They lose Sean Lee to an injury for the year. They lose their leader and voice of their defense in DeMarcus Ware. He goes to Denver. I mean, how much could you really expect out of Dallas?
You can't expect anything out of them. But offensively, you should expect. Offensively, they should be doing more. Tony Romo has to stop his chronic choking. And you know what? Just relax. Because he has Dez Bryant, one of the best wide receivers in the game. There's no reason why he can't do more offensively.
I mean, I think at this point in his career, what you see from Tony Romo now is the same Romo you saw the past 5 years, and that's just not going to change. He'll put up big numbers. He'll be good at times, but when it gets to the fourth quarter, you just never know what to expect with him.
And I
think he's a good above average quarterback, but really right now that's all I think. And until I don't see Dallas having any playoff success with Romo, and I think until they move on to them, I don't really think they're going to be a relevant team in the NFL.
They're not. They're already not a relevant team, and I'm calling it now. They're not beating Houston.
All right.
You're going to tell me their offensive line is going to be able to defend J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney? Please, I don't want to hear it.
Well, Dallas has been playing Houston, not this weekend.
No, I'm talking about the Giants.
Oh, the Giants.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough matchup for New York at home. But before we get into looking at all the matchups from week three, we have about 10 minutes left in the show. We'll move on to our predictions. We'll start with I think hands down the biggest game of the week in Seattle. You got Denver in the Super Bowl rematch against Seattle. Of course, Russell Wilson, we know his stats at home. He's 16-1 in his 2+ years in the NFL. But then you got Denver, who's 2-0 right now. Seattle didn't look all that great last week against San Diego. They lost. What do you expect to see this Sunday at 4:30 in that game?
Well, I see the Broncos taking a similar kind of, because they run a similar offense to the Chargers. They're a very tight end oriented. And in that nature, I see them throwing a lot to Julius Thomas to try to throw him off because, yeah, Demaryius Thomas is an overall, I think, a little bit better player. But at the same time, it's the Seahawks secondary that is beast, all right? And I'm going to tell you right now, Sherman is not going to be guarding Demaryius Thomas because he always guards, or usually guards, the number two wide receiver.
So in that case, of course, we know Wes Welker is now eligible to return this week. But also a big surprise, a pleasant surprise for Denver, has been Emmanuel Sanders has looked really sharp in his first 2 weeks. So you think
Emmanuel
Sherman
Sanders
will be on?
Very underrated. He looked great last year at Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. He was good.
He's a great deep threat. Peyton Manning has a lot of options. He has great receiving options. He's great at avoiding sacks, great decision maker, and perfectly comfortable in the pocket. There's no reason why Denver can't pull this game off, but I don't see it happening. I mean, they're going to Seattle's turf. Who beat Seattle on their turf?
Well, I think that's exactly my point. I look at these two teams. Of course, we know what happened in the Super Bowl, 43-8, just a complete blowout by the Seahawks. But I think the Broncos are a different team this year. They improved on defense, adding DeMarcus Ware, Teep Tlaib, T.J. Ward at safety. They look like a much better defense than they were last year.
Yeah.
And, of course, they lost Eric Decker, but at the same time, they get Emmanuel Sanders to replace him, who's probably
about
at the same level as Decker,
maybe even better. He's better, without question.
He's definitely faster. I think they're similar overall in terms of their talent.
They're different types of receivers.
With that being said, I look at these two teams, and I think you could pretty much go either way in terms of their roster. I'd even maybe give Denver a slight edge, but I don't think, no matter who Seattle's playing, you cannot pick against Seattle at home. Just over the past two years and one game, they're 16-1. Their only loss coming to the Cardinals last season. But even if I do think the Broncos are better, no one's really going to come close in Seattle, just with their stadium and crowd and everything. It's just going to be really hard for Peyton Manning. Even though I hate picking against Peyton Manning as one of the best quarterbacks of all time, I just got to pick Seattle here for this game.
I say Denver is definitely going to surprise the Seahawks a little bit. They're definitely going to run the ball more. They're going to use Julius. They're definitely going to use Julius Thomas a lot because they can't defend against tight ends as well. They can't defend against receivers. Like I said, use Monte Ball, run the ball, keep the ball out of Russell Wilson's hands, and then at certain plays where you can go for the deep passes, stretch the field, because When the Chargers played Seattle, they never stressed the field. Everything was either a running play to Ryan Matthews or Danny Woodhead, or it was a pass to Antonio Gates. It was slow and steady.
All right, so we talked about the Seahawks Broncos game on Sunday. We already touched upon the Jets and the Giants. We'll go into another big game this weekend, which is the San Francisco 49ers taking on Arizona. The 49ers had an epic collapse last week in the first game in their new stadium. They're up 17-0 and end up losing to Chicago. On the other hand, Arizona, without Carson Palmer, they have Drew Stanton starting last week, and they defeat the Giants. So they're 2-0. The Niners are 1-1. This game will be in Arizona. Nick, who do you think will come out on top of this one?
Easy, stupid question. San Francisco. You're going to tell me that Drew Stanton is going to be able to avoid sacks from Patrick Willis left and right and Ahmad Brooks? You're going to tell me he's going to be able to avoid that?
Well, I don't know if it's official if Drew Stanton's playing yet. We could see Carson Palmer on the field.
Palmer's hurt. Even if it's Palmer, like Palmer is because Palmer is a real winner. No, not seeing it happening, and not seeing the Cardinals' defense be able to defend against the Niners' offense. Frank, they're definitely going to run. Okay,
Nick, I don't think you should be overlooking the Cardinals here. I mean, when you look at the rosters, it's not even close. The 49ers are a better team, but let's not forget the Cardinals in probably the toughest division last year were 10-6. They were a win away from the playoffs. I don't think you can even say this is a dumb question, just for the fact that the Cardinals are 2-0. They're going to be at home. We know what their defense is, especially with their backfield with Patrick Peterson and Antonio Cromartie. That's a great cornerback combo.
Tyrann Mathieu.
and Tyrann Mathieu now healthy. I personally do think I agree with you. I think Arizona will win a very close game. It'll be a very physical game. Ultimately, I think they have the better defense. They have the better offense. Colin Kaepernick's got to improve from last week, just especially in the second half, just did not show up at all. But I do think 49ers are going to be a little angry, and I think they're going to bounce back and get this one.
And not only that, now that they don't have Jonathan Dwyer and they only have Andre Ellington, they're, in terms of their running game, it's not even close. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Andre Ellington. He's an elite. He's definitely an above average running back in the NFL. But Frank Gore, compared to Andre Ellington, there's no comparison. And I say that because the Cardinals' secondary is so much stronger than their front seven, I say Frank Gore is going to be seeing the ball a lot. And when there's some gaps, Colin Kaepernick's definitely going to be taking a run for some plays.
All right, so talks about that game. And now going into a different topic. Right now there's two very relevant teams from last year who are sitting at 0-2. You got the New Orleans Saints and the Indianapolis Colts, both winless after their first 2 weeks and played in two winnable games, both of them. Who do you think right now would be in more trouble? Do you think both of them will bounce back and make the playoffs? Do you think one of them will? And for both these teams at 0-2, what does the future of this season hold for the Saints and the Colts?
I would have to say they hold similar futures. I say they both make playoffs. They're both definitely going to bounce back. The Panthers are not the same team they were last year. And I say Saints finish in first place, and the Colts finish in first place. But I would have to say that the Colts are going to go further in the playoffs than the Saints.
Well, I think right now it's definitely hard to tell because I look at the NFC South, and I personally will put that one up there as one of the top divisions. Of course, Carolina was great last year, off to another great start. And Atlanta, who was 4-12 last year, we saw what they were able to do on offense last night. They're 2-1 now. The Saints are 0-2, and we know the stat that they've been talking about, that 0-2 teams since, I think, in the mid-1990s, the percentage of them that make the playoffs is just 11%. But I do agree with you. I think the Saints are just way too talented on offense not to be in at least the running at the end of the year to make a wild card or possibly win the division. And I just think with Indianapolis having to play Tennessee and Jacksonville, that's four of their games. I'm not sold on Houston yet, even though they're 2-0. I'm not sold on them. And I think Indianapolis will win the division in the end. So maybe the fans may want to hit the panic button now, but after two games,
There's no way any team in the AFC South finishes ahead of the Colts at the end of the season. No chance. No chance at all. And the Saints and Drew Brees and Brandon Cooks are going to make John Idzik and the Jets organization look like clowns for passing up on him to take Calvin Pryor. That's all I can say.
All right, and on the other hand with that, we have, I think, probably the biggest surprise team so far in the NFL is right the Buffalo Bills. Just really quickly, we're winding down the show. Got less than a minute left. Do you think the Bills are for real? Do they actually have a chance this year? What's going on in Buffalo?
Well, I would like to, here's basically what paints the Bills. Mediocrity. EJ Manuel is a mediocre quarterback. Doesn't have a great arm, but sure, he can run. Their running game, I don't love it. I love Sammy Watkins. Robert Woods is okay. But, you know, if Sammy Watkins has great potential, he's still a rookie, but if he could really be great, then I could see the Bills going 8-8 or even 9-7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. Sammy Watkins, trade it up, give up a pick next year for him. But I think that's where we'll conclude the show. Thank you so much for listening in to our NFL Friday edition of Sportsaholics, and we'll hope to hear from you soon. We'll hope to you listen in soon. We'll be back soon. Thanks.
All right.